to fellowship around the truth concerning healing. We ask and we seek insight to the end that we walk in the light and our bodies are healed and our bodies are strengthened and strong, and Jesus, your Son, is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat. Amen. So we've been looking at the subject of healing from the perspective that I believe we started yesterday, where you are not listening to know, you are listening practically to apply it, to walk in the light of it, to be healed where there's any pain or sicknesses. Now, very fundamentally, is the way we treat the written word shows how serious we are about the power of God. The written word, that is your Bible. Your Bible is that document of God's word, God's power. You know, we don't say everything that happens in the world is God's power. We don't say that. Why? Why don't we say that? Why can't we just say, well, if it happens, it's God? Because we have an information. The Bible is that information that guides us from thinking in error. So the Bible, therefore, is not just a book of code or conduct or something of that nature. It's a document of God's word, God's power, God's promises. That's why in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 and Luke's Gospel chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted, in the tempting of Jesus, both the Matthew's account and the Luke's account record that he said it's written. So that means the power of overcoming temptation is in the written word. So the written word, therefore, gives us the right kind of information. You can safely say the way you treat the written word, which is the way you treat the word of God, is the way you treat God. 2 Timothy 3 and 15 says, for the child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word there means breathed by God. Then it says it's profitable. 1, for doctrine, to teach, to explain. Then it says for reproof. That word reproof simply means to have evidence. If I want to know whether God will do something, I can't rely on my experiences, because my experiences will be mixed. So how do I know God's going to do something? I look out for the evidence of it. The evidence of what God will do today is the written word. So it says for reproof, something that gives an evidence. The same word there you find in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the Bible is my evidence. Say, the Bible is my evidence of God's power. Not my feelings, not even my experiences. The Bible is my evidence. It's a book of evidence. So, if I want to, you know, yesterday we said that faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know anything, you have no information, then whatever you are doing can't be called faith. Because the word faith means to believe. You must have believed something. Something must have been said. Something must have been heard. Now, I believe God, for example. Now, I believe God, I must therefore believe his evidence. So, the scriptures, that is the written word, is his evidence. You don't believe God more than you believe His word. I mean, it's just normal. You don't believe a man beyond what he has said. So, if I believe God on any matter, it's because I believe what He has said. How do I know what He has said? I believe the written word. So, the Bible, therefore, is to us as believers a book of evidence. See, if I had never seen a human being speak with tongues before, I'm not talking about healing yet, and I read it, that is all. You know, today, we believe that Jesus rose. He came back to the earth. He lives in us. Not because we have seen anybody do it. Not because we have heard anybody do it. But because it is written. It is written. You raise your voice. You say, greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. You are not bragging on a feeling. You are not talking about something that is an experience. You are basically saying, this is what you believe. Why do you believe it? Because it is written. When you read the written word and says that the Holy Ghost is in you, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says we are corporately and individually in the temple of God, for the Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You had no feeling before you said, this is my right in Christ. This is who I am. All you had was an evidence. All you had was an evidence. And your evidence was not your feelings. Your evidence was the written word. What about salvation? You're bold today. In fact, you are not just bold. You take a step further. After believing that you are born again, you are God's child. You take a step further and you are now telling others to believe. You know? There's no feeling to back it up. There's nothing to back it up but the written word. So the written word is the evidence for our believing. Say the written word is the evidence for my believing. That's all. So all I have, I know I'm born again. It's not even a witness of the Spirit. Because you probably didn't even know what it was until recently. It's basically what the Bible says so. The old believers will say, the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. The Bible says, of course, whether you believe it or not, that settles it really. But now, in your own case, you say, the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. The Bible says it. I believe it. Not I feel it. I believe it. That settles it. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. I feel differently. But the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. I hear something different. But the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. You know, a guy was trying to tell me, well, there's this something done by scientists, etc., etc., you know, and all that, archaeology. I said, look at me. I've gone beyond what you're trying to say. The Bible says it. I believe it. You also are believing something. You're exercising your faith in something. Is what I'm also doing. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. So the written word is evidence for your believing. We have gone beyond to feel, then believe. The greatest miracle in the earth is that of salvation. I can't remember feeling saved when I got born again. I can't remember as I said that prayer or made that confession or declared bold I'm a new creation. I can't remember feeling that way. I can't remember having a feeling inside me. Some people say, well, they felt it, they felt peace, I didn't feel anything. But you know what? I did all that believing. I believed it. I have been believing it. I still believe it. Hallelujah. So the written word is that evidence. Look at that for salvation. The written word is even your evidence of the unseen God. Prompts you to pray. Prompts you to preach. Prompts you to praise. Prompts you to worship. Even to repent. Not because you felt anything, but because it is written. In other words, for all Christian activities, conduct, Christian believing, expectation, the Bible is the evidence. The Bible is the evidence. They ask you, what's the proof that that place is yours? What's the proof that the car is yours? Sometimes you're driving and they say, no, you're driving the car. Yes, we know, but who owns the car? Then you bring out the proof that you bought it. Something written. Say, it's mine. You don't say, I felt it was mine, so I drove it. I liked it, so I drove it. You don't say, I can't see that the car and myself will look alike. Well, you end up somewhere that will look more alike, more like you, maybe behind bars. But the honest truth is, you provide an evidence. This is why it's mine. It is the same reason why you believe. It is written, there is mine. Have I confessed with my mouth, believed in my heart that God raised you from the dead? Have I put my faith in saying that truly, yes, Jesus rose from the dead for my justification? Then, if the Bible says I'm saved, I'm saved. If the Bible says I've been justified, set aright, standing right with God, I am. If the Bible says I'm a new creature, I am. I simply believe the evidence of Scripture. I simply believe the evidence of Scriptures. Hallelujah. Why is it so? Because the written word unveils the living word. The written word unveils the living word. The living word is God Himself. A book is nothing more than history if it talks about something that doesn't exist. A book is nothing more than history or a set of jokes or a comic. You know, if all the individuals are fictitious, imagine having to read. I remember, you know, my brother and sister, they had watched too much of cartoon and watched too much of Superman, Spider-Man. So one day, in their folly, because of what they were reading, one of them stood on a double-decker bed and said, how does Superman do it? He flies like this. I don't know how my brother did, but I think he found a way of deceiving my sister. I don't know, but he jumped well. The one came to our turn. I guess she was very stupid. She went to do it exactly like the movies. So she goes, whew, and she landed on the floor with her ham. So my dad showed up. Of course, he was crying. My brother, I think he called my dad, I wasn't there. And my dad showed up, what's going on? Said she jumped. Ah, who pushed her? Said nobody. She decided to jump. To do what? He said, Superman. I mean, my dad is very humorous and very dramatic. He said, fly like a butterfly. That's what he told his daughter when she was in pains. Stretch it out, raise your hand and fly like a butterfly. You know? So, it's nothing more than a hill of beans to read a comic and want to act it. But you know what? The Bible is not like that. There is a living word. There is a living word. The written word is the evidence of the living word. There is a living word. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a set of words and letters. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Uses the word Him, a person, a being. And the life was the light of all men. The light shined in the darkness. And that man couldn't comprehend. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light. Now all men through Him, I believe. He was not the light. The true light, He says, that lighted every man that enters into the world. He came to His world. The world did not know Him. And the world did not know Him. He came to His own. So received Him not. He says, and as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, born of the blood, not of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I believe that. So the written word unveils the living word. The written word unveils the living word. The word became a human being. So, the written word is his evidence. There is a living word, a living being. Just like you have a manual of your phone. The manual is written, but there is a phone. You have a manual for your car, for your device. The manual is written, but there is also a device. Imagine if there was no device, just a mere manual. It's just an empty writing. But you know what? There is a living word. There is a living word. In other words, the written word points to him. The written word points to him. So, like we first said, the Bible is the evidence of what I believe. I believe it because the Bible says so. I don't believe it because a preacher said it. I don't believe it because somebody somewhere had a vision and came back and told us. No, I believe it because the Bible says so. It says so. The Bible unveils to me the living word. The written word unveils the living word. Can I have a bit more sound, please? The written word unveils the living word. He said the Bible is for evidence. Okay, I find out. Does God heal? I find out. The Bible says he does. That means he does. Does God cure headaches? I find out. The Bible says he does. That means he does. Does God raise the dead? I found out. The Bible says he does. That means he does. Does God cure cancers? I read the Bible. The Bible says so. That means he does. Does God heal liver conditions? I open the Bible. It's there. That means he does. That means the evidence of my believing is the written word. It's the written word. It's the written word. It's the written word. The way I handle the written word is the way I handle God. My faith in the written word is my faith in God. So, I must therefore see the Bible as a book of evidence. Hebrews 4 and 12. It says, the word of God is quick and alive. Quick, alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, he uses the word him for the word, showing you that when you say the word of God, beyond what is written, there is a person. Revelation 19:13 says his name shall be called the word of God, which means that Jesus Christ embodies God's will. Jesus Christ embodies God's power. The Bible speaks about him. The written word unveils the living word. The Bible is our book of evidence. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, you know, let me just say something. And it's important. You know, if healing is all about God, right? There's nobody that will be sick. Just like his salvation is all about God. Well, God wants everybody saved now. God wants everybody saved now. That's why he sent Jesus to die. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. You know? If it was up to God, then there will be no sinner in the earth today. Yes, it's God's will. Yes, it's God's power. But it's not up to God. 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 To believe that it's all about God will put him in a very, very different and difficult light. That means that sometimes he just doesn't want to do it. So if I don't see somebody get healed, God doesn't want to do it. I say, well, it's just God. It's all God. It's all God. Someone was saying it, well, you know, there are sometimes we believe, there are sometimes we don't believe, but the truth is that God is God. He will do what he will do. Keep your mouth shut. That is actually a ridiculous statement. Now, if you say, well, God is God, he died for our sins, you are right. In spite of the fact that you oppose him, you are correct. If you say, well, God is God, you know, he was crucified, he was raised from the dead, in spite of the hatred, he raised his son from the dead, you are right. But you see, when he comes to human beings, we have a role to play. We have a part to play. We have a part to play. Yes, we do. It's not up to God to save the world. Why would it be up to God when the Great Commission, watch this, the Great Commission, you know, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, it would have been lovely if all they did was sit in the comfort of their homes and sent a tweet to everybody. Just a tweet. A global tweet. Christ has died. He's risen. These guys hazarded their lives. If to hear it and believe it was not important, why did men have to die? If to hear it and believe it was not vital, and it's all up to God, just God. God without man is God. Is God all by himself. What can we do about it? If that was it, then why were people literally beheaded for this cause? It means there is a God part which he has done in his son, and there's a part I have to play, which is to hear it and believe it. Are you following me? Are you following me? So, it's not, well, healing is God's power, and well, God is moving, and God is, you know, and that's why sometimes, in big healing meetings, healing crusades, now, Brother Hagin used to say this, and probably I'll talk about it later, in big healing crusades, where there's a mass healing, because oftentimes, we don't have specifics, we'll think that God just moved. He just moved. And then he chose people the way he liked randomly. No, that's not correct. If you read the four gospels, there are two kinds of healing accounts in the four gospels. We're going to take them together. Not today. So before we are done. You know, there will be the mass healing. Then there will be the specific ones. You see, come out with the issue of blood, the widow. You see the widow of Zarephath, the widow of Nain. You see the Phoenician woman. You see Jairus. You see the centurion. You see the leper. You see the man at the pool of Siloam. In the individual cases, Jesus asks them to do something. Now, in normal documentation, individual cases explain the mass case. Now, in Luke chapter 6, Luke tells us they touched his clothes and they were healed. See Luke 5, they touched his clothes, they were healed. See, okay, I think it's Luke 12, Luke 6. They touched his clothes, they were healed. You feel that all they were just doing was touching his clothes. If that was it, then how come in Mark 5, only that woman got healed? Even the disciples didn't know what it meant by who touched my clothes. What it means is that the Mark 5 story is an individual case of what all of them did. So don't think that God just move, woo, and then he selected, hey, you'll be healed. You stay like that. You'll be healed. You halfway. You to third. You, no. Now, why am I saying all of this? See, sometimes we can subtly believe a lie. We can subtly believe a lie. Wrong thinking produces wrong believing. Wrong believing will produce wrong speaking. And wrong speaking will produce wrong results. Yeah. Yeah. A woman, I was praying for the sick, 94. She had a breast cancer. One of her breasts. Yoruba woman, she spoke in Yoruba. So I was laying hands on the sick. Of course, she was very talkative. So she said, saying, well, God put this thing on my body to make me humble. Said in Yoruba. So I left her. I said, I came back to her. I said, well, say this after me. Father, I thank you for this cancer. I said, well, give me more so that I'll be humble. She looked at me, what am I saying? I said, well, that's what you just said. If it's humility, don't you need more humility in your life? Some will say, well, it's the will of God. God is doing it, you know, to teach me a lesson. And they go to the hospital. So it's the doctors that undo the will of God. A subtle belief system that cripples your believing and believing in God's power. Never think God selected people. Number one, God doesn't select who gets saved. Neither does he select who gets healed. So it is not up to God. Let me add one more. It's not up to the minister. It's not up to the minister. Not at all. If you ever thought it was up to the minister, then whatever happened in Matthew 8 should have got your attention. Jesus wanted to go to the house of the centurion. The man said, you don't have to. Just speak your word, and your servant will be whole. In Mark 5, the woman touched his clothes. Jesus did not know. He wasn't doing a healing service. Those two instances, among others, which we are going to look at, already should show you, it's not even up to the minister. Number one, it's not up to God. It's not up to God. Well, God will do what he will do. He is able to do what he said he would do. That is why you are called Jehovah. Now you can sing that one for redemption. You can sing that one for the fact that he rose from the dead. The fact that, yes. But the fact that people are saved, no, they believe though. They believe though. He's not able to do what we don't want him to do. No. Salvation is not just something that drops like the rays of the sun. God just says, it's a sunny day, it's a salvation day. Everybody else says, from nowhere, just people say, I believe in my heart. No. People go and preach. Some will believe, some will not believe. It's not up to God. It's not up to God. God is not just moving, then he teaches people. No. No. So, the written word gives us the template, the platform, the evidence to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following this? It's not up to God. It's not up to the preacher. It's not up to the preacher. It's not up to the preacher. The preacher will only do as much as he can to get you to believe and receive. It's not up to the preacher. So it's not, oh God, God did it. Go and look at the four Gospels. More often than not, Jesus will ask men, do you believe? Sometimes you say, your faith has made you whole. Why does he say that? Because there is a part we play. It's not up to God. God's part is to provide the healing power. To provide the healing and the cure. Ours is to receive it. So it's not up to God. No. No, it's not. So, the Bible is the evidence. We said faith begins where the will of God is known. The Bible therefore becomes the evidence for my believing. I believe because the Bible says so. There are times like that. All you will have will be the written word. Your feelings will go south. The symptoms sometimes will get worse. I mean increasingly worse. But all you have is the written word. I believe it. I receive it. The Bible says God wants to do it. So I believe it. I receive it. And I'm whole. That's all you have. Just like salvation. Just like your sonship in Christ. Your feelings are so unreliable. The symptoms cannot be what will guide and rule you. The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20. So, I must have the right kind of attitude to the written word. Look, someone came to me to pray for him. Then he came and he brought out the x-ray result and was interpreting it for me. So, started telling me the right ventricular something moved to the something, that they said the palpitation, you know, I said, wait. What exactly are you here to lecture me about the sickness? No. You are even doing too much talking. I said, I listened to you close to 30 minutes. You are yet to say anything God said. You have told me all the doctor has said. It shows that you have exercised your faith strong in what the doctor has said. Because without being a medical student, you are so astute in your description. What are you doing with it? Did you go to the doctor to learn medicine or to get cured? So if you don't go there to go and learn medicine, how come you are so skilled at explaining it to me? Almost 30 minutes. Didn't see anything God said. Didn't quote the scripture. Didn't see anything. Hallelujah. So, you need to realize that your attitude to the written word is the evidence of your faith for healing. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Now, in the Hebrew, that word attend means to give it first place. To incline your ear typically means to glue your ear to what I'm saying. Hear nothing else. Attend to my words. Now, some Hebrew scholars have said that one of them, because one is Dabba, the other is Shema or something, the two words that they refer to both the written word and the spoken word. So what they imply is that what he's saying is that, one, whatever is in the scriptures, the Torah, give it first place. Then start to say it for you to hear it. Nobody can speak the word of God to you like your mouth. Hearing a preacher preach is wonderful. But hearing yourself say it is where faith begins. Shekel needs to start hearing Shekel talk the word of God. He needs to hear it from his own lips. There is no better preacher to yourself than yourself. So, it is believed that when he says, attend to my words, that is, look at the written word, then put it on your mouth, and incline your ear to it. There's a time like that. I just put God's word in a tape, so that I'll hear it myself. I wrote out some confessions. I put it in a tape. I started listening to it all by myself. My son, attend to my words. The word attend means to give it first place. That means other things will be looking for your attention. There's no better description than saying, now today, for example, is the last day of the year. And banks are going to close by 12. Let's assume it's those kind of holidays that today is Thursday. Right? And banks are going to close by 12. Tomorrow is the 1st. Then Saturday is Sunday. Then Monday is one Muslim holiday. Those ones are double barrel. So one whole week. And then your banker just wrote you and say, well, throughout the holidays, all our channels would not work. So please, quickly get cash. You know, and so on and so forth. And PHCN says, or maybe a co-distribution, or is it Kenya Wong, and says, well, we are not going to also receive online payments. You must bring cash. And you check your card. It's not just red, it's very red. Ah. And then the fourth station say, well, they are also not going to take online payment because there's a breakdown generally on the internet. That's just cash. So you are going to the bank. They told you 12 o'clock. 11:58. And you are in those banks where the gate men, they are righteous men. I told you about righteous men. They don't settle. So you now see one old friend that you have not seen since you were a child. I said, ah, Bobo Shege. How far? This is the door. The guy says, I landed from UK on Monday, but I'm leaving now. The only way I'll go to attend to you is if you give me at least 200K. Do you understand? And I can give you first place. Not just to hug you. Financial phone number. Or more, let's say on Facebook. I'll be going towards the door of the bank. I say, oh, Jema! Ah, you're there, I go! Ah, and I'm moving. I say, how far? You know Facebook now? I'm going inside the... You know Facebook? Okay. Oh, check me now. Take care, bro. I bet that. Because, as I'm seeing Bobo J, I'm seeing PDCN, I'm seeing that is giving this first place. I have my feelings, like that Bobo J. I have the symptoms. I have the things I read. I have what the doctor has said, but I put the word first place. In other words, I give it all the attention. All the attention. I listen to it well enough. He says, verse 22, they are life to those who find them and health. The Hebrew says medicine. Medicine. You know, God's word is like medicine. Why do you think the writers of the New Testament and the Old Testament will tell us to meditate daily, day and night? I've been sick before, such that they didn't just tell me to use drugs day and night. They told me the exact time in the morning. The exact time. And it was one horribly bitter, you know, the bitterest of drugs. Like water, they will show you a color. It's plain. Because I'll take it, I'll drink the thing. By the time I remember what the doctor said, I will drink it and squeeze my face. Faithfully, I'll carry it to the class to drink it. Look at how much faith I released. What about God's word? Give it first place. Some of us, all we do is just say, yay, yay, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's power is working. Less than 30 seconds word. Less than 30 seconds. So you wait again. In the evening. Some just, over there, the only reason why you say it is because they're asking you, how's your body now? We thank God. God's power is working. The last time you said it was early in the morning when somebody else asked you. Then maybe you were inspired towards the night. Just quote that one scripture. I say, well, glory to God, you know, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Just quote it anywhere, anyhow. You know, you are not really giving the word first place. You are not. It says, attend to my words. Incline your ear to thy sayings. You know how you put earphones and you don't hear anybody. You don't hear anybody because some of us have that bad habit. You be around people, you put earphones. They'll be calling your name. They use sign language to you. And all you are listening to, that's all you are. People are talking around you, but the only thing you are listening to is what is being said through the earphones. That is incline your ear. You shut out all contrary evidences and just stay with the word. You stay with the word. Incline your ears to my sayings, for they are life to those who find them, and medicine, health, to all their flesh. So I must learn to put the word first place above what the doctor said. See, this doesn't mean doctors are evil. Not at all. I've said it to you many times. Doctors will do in the natural what God wants to do in the supernatural. So, doctors will eventually achieve it. However, doctors have limitations of knowledge. People have been wrongly diagnosed. See, My own dad was ill. I took him to, at that point, the most expensive hospital in Nigeria. And he died. And he didn't just die. He died of misdiagnosis. I didn't spend 100,000. I spent millions. In fact, I remember that one of the days he was there, she used to work for that hospital. She used to consult for them. She had to inform me that somebody had died in the ward. An expensive hospital. They are not going to kill them. They are human beings. Hallelujah. They are not going to kill them. They are human beings. Sometimes the way we release faith in doctors, they say, don't worry, by next week, I will believe it. Then you come and say, how are you? Say, you tell the same person, by next week, I'll be back at work. You simply transfer faith to the person. You get it? I mean, a human being, that maybe he's just comforting you. He was also told, you know, he has had some hit and miss it here and there. Put the word first place. Put the word first place. See, let me tell you something. Start to practice the word in little things. Little things. Little things. Little issues in your health. Start to. Even when you go to the doctors, don't put your absolute faith in doctors. Use doctors. I mean, their wisdom and all of that. I mean, you use cream, you use all of those things, you do that, fine. But let your faith be in the word. Let your faith be in the word. It be in the word. You know, years ago, I had lived among people that had terrible skin infections. Some of them, I would minister to them. So I used to say that I can't catch anything that is, what do you call it now, viral or basically contagious. I mean, I lived among people like that. For years, it didn't bother me. But there was a year I caught it. Strangely. You know, I was asking myself, what must have gone wrong? What must have gone wrong? Something must have gone. I found out what it was. Because I don't let things slip in me like that. What went wrong? I mean, there was even one case like that. They bought one child. The child could not speak, could not hear. And they said that they usually had to, you have to clothe yourself very well before you carry the child. And it was you. They bought the child to one miracle extraordinary meeting we had. I think it was 97. I said, bring the child. I carried him like this. The mom was, I said, relax. The child will walk now and be healed. So I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. I had to find out what happened. I knew what it was. I'll tell you later. But the truth is, sometimes you hear what the doctor says, and you will see it. But it's time to put what God says above it. Don't deny it. Don't say no, it's a lie. Mm-mm. But say, I have the greater facts of God's word. I have the greater facts of God's word. I have the greater facts of God's word. Someone told me one time, they said she had an hernia. And they said it's an advanced stage that they have to do a surgery. So she brought the report. I said, well, what do you want? She said, I want to be healed without it. I said, fine. Let's just act on God's word and watch a miracle happen. You know, within a few weeks, she went to check it in Jebu and everything was gone. Just, you know, just deciding what to believe. What to believe. What do you believe? I just told you. I mean, the most expensive hospital in Nigeria then. And nothing happened. In fact, it was very ridiculous. Very ridiculous. You get it? So, learn to exercise more faith in God's word than you will to medical help. Attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your eyes. Let them not depart from your eyes or your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So Jesus is God. That means his healing ministry is mine. It's mine. So what do? I open the written word. I see Matthew 8, where he says, would you be made whole? And Jesus said, I will. Would you that I be made whole? Jesus said, I will be made whole. So I say, God wants me whole. God wants me whole. So Jesus is God. He wants me whole. God wants me whole. Hallelujah. I read Matthew 8:17. He cast out the spirit with his own word, that it might be fulfilled. That was in my prophet Isaiah. Himself, boy, in fact, took our sicknesses. I said to myself, that means this healing in my body is a sign that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I say that. I look at the written word. I see Matthew 15:26. He said, healing is the children's bread. Well, I'm a child of God. I'm born of the Spirit of God. So healing is my bread. Healing is my bread. Healing is my bread. It's what I eat. Hallelujah. So I say, well, when I'm feeling sick, that means I'm hungry. Healing will satisfy it. The healing power of God will satisfy it. I put the word of God first place. Mark 16:18. You lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. And therefore say, hands will be laid on me and I'll receive my healing. The word of God says, when hands are laid on the sick will recover. So I say, hands will be laid on me and I'll recover and I'll be whole and I'll be healed. What am I doing? I'm simply acting on God's word. So I say, well, how is your body now? Hands were laid on me. The power of God came on my body. I received a healing and a cure. But I can see your eyes the way it is. Your hands have been laid on me. I've received my healing. But you still can't bend well. I know. But hands have been laid on me. I've received my healing. And I walk in the manifestation. But I can still see that your leg is bent. Hands have been laid on me. What are you doing? You are acting on God's word. You are putting it first place. Many times, and I want to say this, the idea of instantaneous healing all the time has made some feel that the minute it doesn't happen immediately, they are in unbelief. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. No, that's not true. No, that's not true. Hallelujah. So I put the word of God first place. I put it above what I'm feeling now. How I'm feeling now. James 5:14. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Well, prayer has been made. It's by faith. Faith means I believe that I receive. So, I pray, I believe I receive, and I have my healing. What am I doing? I'm putting the word of God first place. I'm putting the word of God first place. I'm putting the word of God first place. I'm putting the word, I don't say I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm feeling better. No. I'm healed. I'm healed. I don't say it's improving. No, I say I'm healed. I'm feeling that way, right? But by saying I'm getting better, I'm talking my feelings. But when I say I'm healed, I'm talking the word. Hands were laid on me. The power of God came. Did the power come? Yes, it did. Did it enter into my body? Yes, it did. Is it bringing a healing and a cure? Yes, it does. And I believe I received and I'm healed. I don't say it only to respond to you when you ask me. I say it all the time. 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 Even medical doctors say that oftentimes, that when they go in for a surgery, that they often try to get the patient to say the right things. That they know the patient has to cooperate with them in what he says. So there's a whole lot in what you say. There's a whole lot in what you say. There's a whole lot in what you say. You can't say you are putting the word of God first place while what you are saying contradicts it. So it's just neutral. Where we are hoping. Where we are trusting God. It is well. No. Hands were laid on me. The prayer of faith has been done. Jesus says he's willing. I believe I receive. That healing is working now. I am healed. Hallelujah. 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 You know, and sometimes there's a condemnation in your mind. Well, the reason why it is happening is because you sinned. But you say in John 9, Jesus said nobody sinned. Hallelujah. And so that the power of God might be made manifest. Nobody sinned. Nobody sinned. It's not about sin, it's about the power of God. What am I doing? I'm putting the word of God first place. I'm putting the word of God first place. There was someone like that. I gave her a prophecy like that. Somebody told her, because the person knew about her past and some things she had done, you know, in her relationships, XYZ, XYZ. And the person said, this is going to happen. And so she came and asked me, sir, you know, I heard this prophecy, you know, about having children. I just laughed. I said, what do you believe for? What do you believe for? She said, well, she said, exactly. Exactly. The man didn't speak God's word as much as Satan didn't speak God's word in the temptation of Jesus. He spoke a lie. A friend of mine, he was my best man, actually. He told me he was about to get married. He said he told him that, well, in the family that he was getting married to, that all the kids didn't have children. He just informed him ahead of time, so he will know what he's getting into. So I asked him a question, what do you want? I said, ah, you know now. He said, that's all now. So that's what you're going to be saying. That's what they're going to be saying. He got married after I did. He had children before me. That's what they're just going to be saying. Don't repeat what they are saying. Anything you say and you repeat it will eventually become what you believe. Don't repeat it. Don't repeat it. Put the word of God first place. Put the word of God first place. What did God say about your healing? What did he say about his healing power? What did Jesus do about sickness and disease? That is the word of God to you. Hallelujah. That's the word of God to you. I told you yesterday, even your pastor can say sorry. He has a biblical responsibility to tell you sorry. But you know, sorry has never healed anybody. I've not seen somebody that when he heard sorry, he got up from the wheelchair. I'm yet to see somebody who, when they said a lot of sorries to him in the house, say, sorry, should we change where the bed is? Should we put the fan on? Should we put the AC on? Then suddenly, the cancer disappeared. I'm here to see it. I'm here to see somebody that had a growth in the body. And they said, just be careful. Watch how you eat, and be managing. And the person got healed. Well, you know what? When you put the word of God on your lips, and you insist on the power of God, you will be healed. So, don't look for pity party. Pity party is here to cure anybody. Don't look for people that will understand what you are going through. Understanding what you are going through will eventually understand how you are going to die. People will pity you till you die. And they will cry. And on the funeral day, you see, they only cry at the funeral ceremony. The rest are sure they are going to eat that day. Look at Mark 5. They were crying that Jesus could have died. Oh, you know, some people, they are anointed criers. Ah! I see somebody like that. I was watching her. She was coming to communicate with us. I watched her as she got to the gate. She was talking, walking. She didn't know I was seeing her. As soon as she saw me, oh! I shook my head. I just smiled. I said, this is fine. See, when she saw I wasn't doing anything dramatic, she cleaned. You know, when you look at, you know, actresses cry, real life. You see that thing is pain in them. They know it's not true. So they work up their emotions to cry over fiction. So don't get used to people crying about it. Huh? You don't need tears. You need faith. Hallelujah. To believe God. I believe God. I believe God. It's the word of the word. It's the power of God or the power of God. The only alternative to the power of God is the power of God. Have that resolute attitude. Don't forget. Don't just be talking the word when people are there. That's putting up an appearance. It won't do you any good. You got to, on the pulpit, you are preaching. Right? You are telling people, the word of God, the Bible says, you fell sick again, you are still preaching. So every time you see people, it's like audience. It's like your congregation has come again. Say, how are you, sir? Don't worry. God is working. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As soon as they go, you will die an actor. That's it. In fact, whether they are there or not, you put the word of God on your lips. You put the power of God on your lips. Are you there? Put the word first place. You have the report of the doctor, the report of the senses, the report of symptoms. You say, I exalt the word of God about this. I exalt the word of God about this. Hallelujah. You meditate upon the word of God. You think about it. Put it on your mind often. And what do? Play it around you. 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 I know the story of someone. You know, he had a mental condition that caused him to be bound to a bed, a sick bed. But he had so much listened to healing teachings, so much, that the nurses said he would just pick up. I mean, he was tied. He was tied to a mental word. He would just pick up and say, according to God's word, I'll be out of this place. Then he would slip back into the insanity. The thing happens consistently. One day, he just said it. Maybe he said, June the 14th, so and so year, I'll come out of this place. And he slipped back. He said, that very day was when he was discharged. You know why? He had stored the word of God so much in his mind. In his mind. Always make deposits of God's word consistently. You know, it's only a sluggard that prepares for war during war. Before symptoms come, you have put the word of God on your lips. If there's an area of our lives where we must be very, very, very astute, healing is one of the healing. Because you rather need it for yourself or somebody that you know. Meditate upon it. The Hebrew word is agar, to roar so loud that you will silence every other voice. The Greek is melitao. It's similar to when a care of something overwhelms every other care. You roar so loud. So loud. It's like you are shouting. Like you are shouting. Like you are shouting. Number two, speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Have you ever seen anybody who got saved without calling upon the name of the Lord? It has never happened. Nobody has ever gotten saved by saying, well, I don't care. He heard the gospel say, well, does it really matter? No. Nobody gets saved because you said you are saved. Nobody gets born again because you told the person, you know, I'm just going to say over your life now. Whether you like it or not, I'll speak over your life. You are born again. You are a new creature. All things are passed away. No. People are born again because they believe what you have said in their heart and they say it by themselves. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, shall be saved. Romans 10:8, what saith it, the word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord, you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the mouth, with the heart, man believes the righteousness with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. Talking about getting born again. Nobody gets born again because you preached unto them. Or because you declared over their lives. Declare as you must. If they don't believe it and they don't say, they are going to hell. So much more. Hearing the word of God can get you healed. Hearing about healing can get you healed. Seeing testimonies can get you healed. In fact, getting others healed can get you healed. It's when you believe it yourself. And then you act upon it. Put it on your own lips. If putting the word on our lips and saying it didn't mean anything, Jesus will not have given us the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Or in Matthew 17, so we're going to see all of that. So, learn to put the word of God on your lips. Not when you are preaching. Amen? Not when you are preaching. No. Not when you are preaching. No. Some, the only time you hear them speak the word is when they are preaching. Or when they are arguing scriptures. Or when they are trying to prove somebody is wrong. But in their personal lives, they don't. Hallelujah. Say, I put the word first place. I meditate upon the word. I speak the word constantly. whether people are there or not. I put the word on my lips. And I say it all the time. Hallelujah. 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 So I put the word on my lips. I say it all the time. You can't do the word without speaking the word. Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever things you do in word and in deed. In word and in deed. Put it on your lips. Let's close here. You know in Numbers 14. I read that story often. In Calisbania. You know in Numbers 14. That all they did was to believe a true story. That was all they did. The spies came back from Canaan and said, you know what? Those guys are giants. But they were really giants. All they did was to believe a true story. They weren't lying. They just said, well, this is the report that came to us. Do you know what it's called? An evil report. And they were murmuring, complaining. You know, it's not complaining, it's just saying, but why am I still sick? Why am I still feeling this way? Sometimes a legitimate concern. The Bible says all night, the whole of Israel, 3 million people, murmured together in one accord. Only two people. I don't know about you, that got my attention. You know, for me, I would have said, majority, you know, some would say, well, after all, this person got sick, that person got sick. You will now see stories of many people that got sick and died. It will now look like it's a democratic thing, a majority thing, but just two guys. Which means it's not a question of the number. It's just one person. In a whole nation, who put the integrity of the word of God on his lips. He will see the fruit of it. Just one person. The last thing that got my attention was what the Lord said to them. He said, look, that which you have said, I have heard it. He said, it will come to pass. So, 40 days became 40 years because of what they believed and what they said. They kept going round and round for 40 years because of the things he said. Put the word of God on your lips. Dare to believe God. Dare to believe the written word above your experiences, above the way you feel. You know, people try to tell me, sometimes we say, Pastor, you seem tired. I know they are concerned. See, you've been preaching every day. You preach this way, preach that way. And I said, yes. He said, but God's power is working. I'm yet going to do more. I'm strengthened by God's power. I said that to myself. I won't relapse into feelings and symptoms. Or relapse into, no way. Hallelujah. I act on the word. I act on the word. I act on the word. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin said, when he was on the sick bed, the Lord told him, he said, you said you are healed and you are whole. So what is it by the time? 10 a.m. See, do healed people stay in their beds at 10 o'clock? Act on the word. Said he got up. And that was it. Now, that may not happen to all of us that same way. But there's such a thing as acting on God's word. Obeying the word. Doing the word. Concerning your healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know you can just speak God's word now. Just speak God's word. Speak God's word.